This is Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.
I shudder thinking how the world can be so cruel. I lend my voice to those who can't. It's time we try, it's time we care, it's time we stand.
Welcome to the Special Chronicles show. My name is Daniel Spakowski. I'm the founder of Special Chronicles and a Southern Survivor Global Messenger alum with Special Olympics. Our website, specialchronicles.com, where you can stream our archives of over 750 episodes absolutely for free. And to follow Special Chronicles on social media, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, specialchronicles.com. This week on the Special Chronicles podcast, so excited to welcome a new friend and fellow Special Olympics athlete who is also from Special Olympics North America. And is Wyatt. Wyatt is an athlete leader from Special Olympics Nebraska and a newly selected Southern Survivor Global Messenger from 2024 to 2027. Joins us this week as a fellow podcast host to talk about his journey to this elite athlete leadership role. Please put your virtual hands together as we welcome Wyatt to the Special Chronicles podcast. Welcome, Wyatt.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And I'll just imagine our audience. I mean, you as you go out and speak as an SSGM, you get used to that applause.
Thank you. Yeah, that was cool.
But it's good to have you on the program. I just want to thank my mentor, Karen, for dropping me a text saying you should have Wyatt on, who is a fellow podcast host. So it's good to get connected with you. If Brandon from SOI is listening, it's a little bit ahead of the connecting. But it's exciting to get connected with you.
Yeah, like I'm excited to come on. I've seen your podcast and stuff you've done on social media, and then when you asked me to come on, I was like, okay, sure, like that'd be great. It's my second time I've been on a podcast. It's different on the other end, but yeah, it's great.
It is different on the other end, and you said that you've listened to my. You've listened and followed my podcast before. I probably shouldn't be surprised now, 15 years later, that that other athletes have followed and listened. But for those, why don't we share with the listeners how we got connected, and just to let them know, as an SSGM alum, I am. My all class, we are your predecessors in the Southern Tribal Global Messenger role. So share with us how we got connected and then what disability you are diagnosed with.
Yeah, so we got connected through people in the Special Mix International, community, I'd say. And I've seen like your face on the Special Mix International website, and so that's when I didn't know who you were, obviously, but I was like, I've seen that guy before, but where? I was like, it's like, oh, right, the internet. I've seen him on the page. And so, I've just kind of known you from that. And then people, like, I think when I went to Capitol Hill Day this year to speak to senators about Special Mix, some people mentioned your name to me, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I think, it rings a bell. But I I could remember your name, but couldn't put a face to it. And then when I saw your face on your internet, I was just like, I know that guy. And then I forgot, But then when you started texting me, I was like, that's it. I got it now. Like, I know who he is.
And now, since you also from the U.S. and our Special Olympics North America region, it'll be for you and I should have done a little bit more research before going on before we started recording, and I'm going to pretend like I knew this off the top of my head, but you're the other Special Olympics, the other son, the SSGM from our North America region is Susan from up in Canada, correct?
Yeah. Yes. So we were the two that got picked for North America. And so kind of go back a little bit. I knew nothing about like what this was. My old boss, Stephanie Sorensen, told me to apply. And he's like, "You should apply for this." Awesome. I was like, "Okay." And I didn't really know what it was at first. I just was kind of doing, you know, what your boss tells you to do. And then like I was filling all the application and everything. And during that process, like the application was really hard. Like it took forever.
I have to say, like even 5 years ago, it was hard. Like it is a difficult application.
Questions weren't like they weren't like worded complicated. They weren't complicated with the words and stuff. It was more like they just made you think like really deep, and it was just like you'd write something and be like, "Okay, that doesn't sound great. How do I make something better?" So I mean, I worked on it for like probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, my boss gets another job, and then I get another cool boss, Emma Slattery, and she's kind of like, I told her about how I applied for this job, and she's like, "Oh, that's great." So then she was on kind of like getting the emails and stuff if I would get the interview. And she's like, "You got an interview." And yep. I made like the top 25. And then another cool thing was one of my teammates, my doubles partner actually in tennis, she applied too, Haley Wagner. And she also made the interview process as well. So I was just cool for the state of Nebraska just to have two athletes in the interview process. And then, you know, my back of my mind, I'm awesome. Just like, yeah. And then the back of my mind, I'm like, it's cool. You know, I'm applying for this, but you know, I'm not going to try to get my hopes up too much because you're competing with people around the world. Like, you get it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I get it. Totally. I get it. Five years ago. We are going to put a quick pin in talking about applying to be an SSGM and so we'll come back to that in a couple of segments from now.
Yeah.
But I thought we could take our listeners back to your story of when you were born. So yeah. Our listeners can hear your full story, and then we'll come back to where you are today.
Sorry, I get ahead of myself sometimes, you know.
It's fine. I guess we started with today being an SSGM. Now we're going to flashback, just like in the movies or in books. We're going to flashback to your both story, and then we'll come back. So we'll do a little flashback. If I had some cool effects, I would do that. But I don't have any cool effects. Anyways, so share with us. You were born prematurely with many health challenges. Spent 7 months in the NICU, which, similarly to me, I spent, I think, 25 weeks in the NICU when I was born. And then you also, in your early life, was full of a lot of different surgical procedures. So can you share with us and tell our listeners about your both story, including what disability you were?
Yeah, so before we get all into all like the kind of trauma, the fun fact is I'm a twin. So I have a twin brother, Weston, and he did not have a disability. He did deal with some asthma when we were kids, but nothing like keeping him out of sports or anything. But when we were born, I was born 2 months premature. I was supposed to be born May 1st. I ended up being born March 7th. And what happened, from what I can remember, what my parents tell me, is, well, when I had trouble like breathing, and then when I was born, my esophagus wasn't attached to my stomach. And so I ended up having like these surgeries. It was called a T fistula. And it's like 1 in 15,000 babies get it. And I was just the one that got it. And I had those surgeries where they just created like this like wrap that would connect my esophagus to my stomach. And so I've dealt with that my entire life. I actually have like some problems with it today that aren't great, but a lot of stuff I deal with today go back to just all these surgeries I've went through. There was times like they couldn't even like wheel me to the operating table because they would unhook me and then I'd kind of like start to code and they'd have to bring me back. I've been life flighted before. There's all these surgeries, and I'm kind of thankful that I was a baby because I don't remember any of this, you know, trauma. And, you know, I feel bad for like my parents because, you know, they remember it. But yeah, just like all this stuff. I just know it from pictures. And then I have all these scars on my stomach. So I like them because like, I think of my scars as like, I don't need a permanent tattoo. I got scars, man, you know?
I know. That's a perfect way to look at it. Yeah, because it's the same with you. I've got a lot of scars on my stomach, too. Yeah. Like, who needs
tattoos?
Tattoos when you've got skulls from when you were born.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're not going to go spend, like, $300 on a tattoo. I mean, you know, our parents probably spend money for us to get these scars, but hey, we got them and it was free for us. And, you know, it was tough, but hey, they look cool now. And yeah, so I went through that. And then just growing up, I had two older sisters, Michaela and Jessica. So it was like four of us. And then just playing sports, I was super into sports. Both my parents played college sports. My dad played baseball. My mom played tennis. And then when I was like in, I'd say like fifth grade, that's when I kind of like couldn't be involved in sports much anymore because my disability that I have is cerebral palsy. And I got that at birth, well, a couple of days after or sometime after because I went through all those surgeries, had a brain bleed on the left side of my brain. And then got cerebral palsy. So cerebral palsy is my disability. And then I always like struggled with sports. School was hard. I struggled at reading, even though as I got older, I tried to get better at reading. And then like, obviously like, you know, I go to school and work hard in school. So I can play sports. Well, it's hard when your parents all of a sudden kind of pull you out of sports. Because it's unsafe for you to go out for the sixth grade basketball team because you get hurt. And so that was like really tough. I had like this really gut-wrenching or several gut-wrenching conversations with my dad about why I couldn't go out for sports and all that. So like for a year, I just went to the basketball gym at the YMCA's and played basketball by myself, maybe play a pickup game. My brother and I would find guys to play 2-on-2 against. And I was a manager for Weston's teams, but I didn't have a team where I played on. So then I get involved in Special Olympics in seventh grade, and it's all history from there. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, no, awesome. Yeah, awesome. We'll get into much more of your story with Special Olympics, but yeah, I also play basketball as well. Let's circle back and maybe we have to just similarly we did with Grace, another SSGM in your class from New Zealand. We did a lot of wink winks at Brandon, so maybe we have to do a wink.
Yeah,
we'll have to We'll have to wink at Brandon that it'll be fun if we could play basketball together, or, yes, or maybe even do a live podcast together.
So
let's just kind of drop that little hint to Brandon if you're
yeah, Brandon, we know you're out there listening, so
yes, hey, yeah, Brandon, if you're listening, Wyatt and I would love to play basketball together. We do a live podcast together as well.
Yeah,
call into SSGM and then the predecessor. So yeah, from the previous class. Let's now talk as we all know in this Special Olympics movement, it's not about our challenges, but to give some more context to our listeners, what are a few of the challenges because of your disability? I read in, I'll let that fourth wall down to let our listeners know the show prep for to have you on, why it was so easy because I read your bio. And so, like I told you in the pre-show, and so you live your life with an optimistic attitude. Talk a little bit with us about the challenges because of your disability, CP, and then tell us about the moment that you were heartbroken when your dad would, I think you just previously shared with us.
Yeah.
Tell us about the moment when you were heartbroken when your dad sat you down in middle school and told you that you could not play organized sports because it was too risky for your health challenges with CP.
Yeah. So with CP, I struggle like really physically. Like, some of it's probably intellectually because, like I said, I struggled in school. But physically, I'm not very strong, and I try to use everything with my left hand. You know, my left hand does a lot of my work and what I do. My right hand, I try to like focus and like do stuff, but I can't with my instincts, I can't just open a door. I have to like grab the knob with my right hand, tell myself like, all right, you got to turn it this way to open it, and then I kind of use my shoulder to open it too because just not strong enough. So it's like things like that are like what really frustrates me on days when, you know, I can't open like a little baggie or like, you know, a little candy bar or something. Like it's just too hard to open because my fingers aren't that strong. And I think maybe I have some CP in my left hand, but not much because my fingers are pretty weak. And it's just like doing like the simple things like that is frustrating. Cause you just like, I should be able to open this, but I can't. And then I wear like inserts on my feet. My right foot kind of sticks out like the opposite direction, like to the right. And then I wear like this thing called a walk aid. And what that is, it's like a cuff and it's like got these electro pads on it. And it gives you a little shock and it lifts your foot up. Cause like, the place on your leg where the nerves are to lift your foot up, like we're dead in there because of my CP. And so I've been wearing this cuff for like over 10 years. And so that's been really helpful. But before that, I had to wear like braces and stuff. So walking and running, you can tell I walk and run with kind of a limp. So that's tough. And because it's a physical disability, like standing for long periods of time, even playing sports, like I just get this like soreness in my legs and this like burning feeling sometimes in my feet. And it has to do with your cerebral palsy. It just is kind of, you know, affects me, like I said, physically. And so like when I do anything like physically active, so anything that's not sitting down, it just really, I can really feel it in my body. So I try to stay healthy as much as I can. That's probably stuff I do well and stuff I could do better, but just don't want to sometimes, you know. So cerebral palsy really kind of drains you. It's hard to explain. Like when I talk to people that have cerebral palsy, they get what I'm talking about, but there's this like tiredness to it. You're just tired. at the end of the day, like everyone else, but it's like a different kind of physically. Like you use, like, I think I read you use 10 times more energy than somebody that doesn't have cerebral palsy. So like I'd go to school as a kid and then I'd come home and my brother and sister would go out to play and I would just go home and watch TV because I'd be exhausted from school all day and sitting and walking around trying to just do what kids do. And then as an adult now, you know, going to work, I used to work in retail a lot. So the standing of it would make me like pretty tired at the end of the day, where I'd really like, if I worked 4 days a week in retail, then three or two of those days, I really had to like mentally push myself to go shoe baskets or go practice tennis. And then I knew there was always one day, like I physically cannot like go work out. I'm so tired from work right now. And it's just my cerebral palsy. And like now I have a nice job, which we can get into later, but it's a sit down job and I can sit down all day. So.
Awesome. We'll get into that in a little bit later in the segment. And I'm sure I have a feeling, and maybe it's because we're both podcast hosts. We'll probably have to have you back on the podcast because I'm sure those other other topics,
yeah,
even based on the time of today, that we probably could go on and on. Oh, and yeah, on. But sure. That's, if Brandon is listening, we'll have to see you. We visit a lot of these topics. Or if, for those of you that are listening in, if there's anything that Wyatt is talking about that you want us to do another podcast episode about, you can email, you can just drop me a note, feedback@specialchronicles.com, feedback@specialchronicles.com, or you can send us a message on Instagram or Facebook, and you can find all of our links, contact and social media on specialchronicles.com, specialchronicles.com. The link will be in the description in the show notes below. I'm pointing as if the audio podcast listeners can. Yeah, just if you're listening to my voice, just look down below. Anyways, briefly before we get on to our next segment, and we'll get into much more about your story in this movement, your story in Special Olympics in the next segment. But first, I thought, as we all know, and what the challenges because of our disability is, like one of my journalism professors has said, it's the foundation of who we are as humans. But it's not a, as we all know, in this movement, it's not about our challenges. And so what we talk a lot about, both in athlete leadership and in Special Olympics, in this movement, is about our joys and accomplishments. And that's a lot of the focus of even this podcast on Special Olympics, is talking about our joys and accomplishments. And so briefly, and again, we'll talk more in the next segment, but kind of just give us maybe a brief 1 to 2 minute explanation of a few of your joys and accomplishments because of your disability.
Yeah, so I love to play basketball and tennis are my two main sports. One of my two accomplishments for that is I played in two USA games, one for tennis, one for basketball. And what was cool about that is I realized that when you have a dream in life, sometimes it doesn't always happen at the right moment, but it happens. I worked 8 years to make it to my first USA Games, and I made it for tennis. And then I worked 15 years, yeah, to make it for basketball in the next USA Games, because that was the first sport I ever played in Special Olympics. So that's what I wanted to go to the USA Games the most. And so just to like do that, to be able to play both at the USA Games was pretty cool. I won a gold medal in doubles with Haley, my doubles partner. And then with basketball, I got to play unified. And one of my unified partners was my twin brother, Weston. So just two great experiences. So those are my main two. And then,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I've got so many questions about the USA Games, but we're going to get to that after this first break right here on SpecialChronicles.com. So we'll continue our conversation with Wyatt after this first break right here on SpecialChronicles.com. Support for Special Chronicles comes to listeners like you. If you would like to help us operate our studio and keep the lights on, continue our mission of giving respect and voice to those of us with disabilities, and you can support these weekly candid and honest and empowering conversations within our disability community. You can support this podcast with a monthly or one-time gift of things today, specialchronicles.com/give. That's specialchronicles.com/give. And now, as I fade that down, back to a conversation with Wyatt. Wyatt, welcome back. And I tried to fade that. I think that sponsor break was a little bit longer than what I need to work on trying to cut down those sponsor breaks. So we will try to work on making that 10 seconds, but it's hard. Anyways, when you've got a big, exactly, long script.
Exactly.
In the previous segment, you had just talked about competing at the USA Games, and we'll come back to that because I have so many questions about that. And I'm sure even our listeners might have some of the same questions. And again, if you guys are listening and anything that Wyatt as you share your story, Wyatt, if any of you are listening, have any questions, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on Spotify, there's a comment box, I believe. You can leave your comments on Spotify. Or you can email feedback@specialchronicles.com, and people just go to this episode on Spotify and leave your comments, and we would love to hear from you. And if you have any questions from Wyatt, maybe we can compile a bunch of those questions and comments and have you back on the program, Wyatt. But you mentioned a little bit how you guys got involved in Special Olympics and this movement. Why don't you, I think maybe my video, there we go. Why don't you share with our listeners, Wyatt, how you got started in our Special Olympics movement as an athlete? That hope that you had, that you shared in the previous segment, had turned you into competing in basketball and tennis. Just like you, I also competed in basketball. My team, the beginning of this month, we'll tape this in February. My team got first place. I think over two games, I scored 18 points.
Nice. The beginning. Nice.
And so share with us how you got started in Special Olympics and as an athlete and kind of a little bit more of.
So I, like I said, I couldn't play sports anymore on my brother's teams. So my parents were trying to find me a league to play in, and they got in contact with the Special Olympics in Fremont, Nebraska, where I'm from and grew up. And my coach, Corey Piercy, you know, told him, well, bring him down. Like, we'd love to have him. And so I'm like 13, go to my first basketball practice. And, you know, like when you're 13, you're used to like playing with people your age. I go there and it's like teenagers, like high school kids and, you know, people that are 30, 40 years old. And I'm just this 13-year-old that's like, looks like he's 11 or 10 because I'm like that small. And yeah, it was quite an eye-opener, but I loved it. Like I was good at, the only two things I was really good when I first started at was ball handling, and then I could pass. And so shooting I had to work on, but I just remember starting with basketball with Corey, and then I did track too, and then like I think the next spring. So, yeah, 2009, I started playing tennis, and then I fell in love with that, and it just went off from there. I do tennis, like basketball and tennis, like I said, but football is kind of the other main sport I do. So those three are the ones I do, like, I stick with. And then I'll switch back. Like, I just started softball last year. That was super fun. And I think I'm going to track this year. So, yeah, I just started with Fremont, played with them for 15 years. It's a great experience. And then when we got to college age, that's when we started playing unified, having unified team instead of playing traditional. And that's when my brother started playing. And my brother was actually my coach in high school when we had a traditional team. So I got my brother to be our head coach, and then our best friend, Kenny, who's my just to say the spoiler, he's my mentor for this SMGM or the Sergeant Triver Global Messenger. And he's he's my mentor.
Friend. Your friend.
Awesome. Yeah. Kenny, my friend. So he's our best friend, and he was our assistant coach. So for the first 2 years, they just came to watch me play in middle school. And then freshman year, I just told Wes, I was like, you're going to coach my team. And I was like, he's like, I am? Like, yeah, because we need someone that actually plays high school basketball right now. So you're going to be my coach because I'm the manager of your team. And so you're going to help out with my team. And then Kenny, it's sophomore year, the next year. We just kind of like convinced him. Yeah. And we convinced Kenny to go out. Like, Kenny, just do it. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And he loved it. So that was fun to have them as coaches. And then they transferred from coaching to playing with Unified and been taking off ever since with basketball, football. I've played Unified tennis with my sister Jessica a couple times. So, yeah, it's been really great.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. I've only done traditional sports, not unified sports yet. But yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm sure the unified sports really shows people how you're able to play on the same team.
Yeah.
With others who don't have disabilities. Now this is the point, and I'm adding this to the show notes because I have so many questions about at the end of the first segment you talked about going to the USA Games. I myself and a few of the other SSGMs from your previous class, we were at the USA Games in Orlando in 2022. Which USA Games have you competed in? What sports did you compete in those? And tell us a little bit about that. What that experience was like to compete on the national level.
Yeah, excuse me. So 2018 was when Seattle. And that's when I played tennis, and that was really cool because like we played in like the fifth division, Haley and I, and that was like the second highest level, because then after us was like 5+, and it was pretty fun. Like my first match, I was really nervous and everything, but then I just kind of thought about all the surgeries I've gone through in life, and I'd gone through a surgery 4 years before that, a back surgery that was really serious, and so I was like, oh, this is, if I lose, you know, it's not as bad as like having a surgery. So I just like kind of calmed me down. And it was like just a dream come true to make it to my first one, because I thought I was going to make it to 2014 when it was in New Jersey. But I had this major back fusion surgery. I had scoliosis like extremely bad and I couldn't go. So that kind of was like what pushed me to recover on the really tough days was I'm going to make it to the USA Games in 2018. So I made it to Seattle and I played against some really good players. A cool thing about Seattle was we made the finals for doubles, Haley and I, and we were down in the third set. It was a third set tiebreaker. So real quick on tennis, you played six games. They both win. We both split a set. Then you go to tiebreaker, played to 10 points. So we're down like 4-8, two more points, and we lose. We get second. We came all the way back, and we won 10-8. It was crazy. So, like, just to get that was pretty insane. And then, but competing at the high level, there's highs and lows. And a low, competitive-wise, was for singles. I made it to the semifinals. Played one of my really good friends, one of my best friends, Matt Barima from Illinois, who has, like, the same cerebral palsy that I have. And I lost him in a third set tiebreaker in semifinals. and then I won the third place match. I played really good in the third place match. But just like competing at the highest level like that taught me, like, you know, you're just an inch away here from winning or losing. And that's what I think a lot of athletes want. Like, yeah, we're out there to have fun, which Special Olympics is really, you know, branded itself on. But we're also athletes. Like, we're here to compete, and we want to win. And, like, yeah, we don't win. But, you know, we want to play against the best.
Yeah.
And so, like, I bet you're like that too, probably. Like, you want to play against
the best. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I know, like, my basketball coaches, even like when I was swimming in the past, hopefully not forcing that much. What I'm trying, there we go. Okay. Yep. We're back. So what I was saying was, yeah, like my basketball coaches say that, yes, it's having fun, but like what you were saying, we when you watch, we get into the competition, we get into the game, and we, yes, we're having fun, but like
we're competitive. You know, it gets heated, but it doesn't get heated to like a bad point. It's just like, you know, you're just playing intensely. It's like, oh, someone falls down on a basketball drive, or guys are fighting over a loose ball. It's just like, yeah, because we're athletes, just like high school or college athletes. Like,
or even the professional athletes as well. We're competitive. Yes, we have fun. Yes, there's the athlete oath, let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. Yes, there's that. But there's also the competitive sides. And I think even Tim Shriver talks about this, that some people might, when they hear that we're Special Olympics athletes, they went, oh, there's that cute thing that's going on. But it's not that. It's like what you just said. It's like what I just said. I'm sure many of the you know, millions and millions of Special Olympics athletes across the globe will probably agree with us that it's this movement, this competition that we play throughout the whole year. It's not this cute thing. It's this actual sports thing.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like we're called Special Olympics, and it's nice to say, like, oh, that's a special athlete right there. Like, that's good. Like, you hear that all the time in the pros. Oh, that guy's special. He's really good. But, like, with us, I think people sometimes overuse it, and it's like they think of us as special as, like, it's cute. But it's like, no, like, we're actually, like, good athletes, and I think people, we need to start saying this, like we're capable. We're capable athletes. We can do a lot in and outside of sports. And I think people think like we're just your local fun, cute YMCA sports, and that's not true at all. Like, people, like, don't understand. Like, no, like, we actually train. We train for our sports all year round, no matter how many we play. Like, we're not like your 40-year-old guys just, like, sitting on the couch. I'm going to go play in my pickup basketball league for the week, and that's it. Like, no, like, I'm doing drills, like, in the 95-degree heat Nebraska weather in the summertime for tennis so I can get ready to compete at this tournament I go to in January, where it's the top 30 tennis players in the United States get invited, called the Experience. I'm training for that. Basketball, I have my state or regional basketball tournament this Saturday, and I've been training for that ever since the season ended last year. So from April to whenever our regional tournament is, like, I'm training for that all year round. So I think people just need to see us as, like, not just these people with disabilities. Yeah. We're just athletes, you know?
Yeah. We're just athletes. Yeah. And it's like the first Special Olympics Unified Cup that took place in 2018 in Chicago. My mom and I were there. We were up in the on press box, and she even said, and same when you competed in it and when I competed, she said, like, this looks just like, so, like, and for those of you that are wondering what the Unified Cup is, if you say football, we mean soccer for our international audience. But, like, for example, the Unified Cup, whether it's the one that took place in Chicago, the first one in Chicago, or the one that took place a couple years ago in Detroit, it's just like you're watching any other, like the World Cup or any other competition. That's all competition, like what we've been saying for the past 5 minutes. It's the same type of competitive competition, and that's something else, like, as an SSGM, as a Sunshine Global Messenger, that you and, like, what I've been doing the past 5 years, when we go out and talk to, whether it's different businesses, companies, different community leaders, that's what we'll educate them about, right?
Exactly. Like, we're just educating them that, like, look, like, everyone is, like, everyone can belong to Special Olympics, but now it's different. Like, there are levels, like, and some of them are elite levels. Like, we have this soccer team called Union Omaha. It's a minor league soccer team. So it's like it's a pro soccer team. Well, they have a unified team that you can try out for, but they cut you if you're not good enough to make the team. They're not saying, oh, you can't play soccer. No, you didn't make the Union Omaha team that travels and plays other teams from other states. You know, and I think it pushes athletes like, oh, I'm going to get better and I'm going to make the team next year. Or like the athletes that made the team, they're not just guaranteed a spot for next season. They have to train all year round again and try to make the team the next year. And I think it's great they're having stuff like that, because, like, I think we got to show, like, there are a lot of us athletes that, no, we want to, like, be at the top, compete with the best of the best, just like you would in high school, college, pros. Like, just because we're Special Olympics doesn't mean we're just here to, like, oh, we're all going to play at the same level. Everyone has a different skill level, and some people are better at one sport than the other. Like, the soccer team, I'm not trying out for the soccer team. I'm not going to make the select soccer team, but I play on the local level. I'll play on the local level. I'm good on the local level for not really playing soccer that much, but I'm not going to go out and try out for this travel soccer team when I don't even practice soccer that much. You know, I mean, one of my best friends, Garrett, he's on the soccer team, and he's on it because he practices a lot and he puts in the work and he makes a team. So I think people got to learn that we're just like right? Like I said, high school, college, pro sports, there's tryouts, and there's going to be an elite division. But if you don't play in the elite division, or not like other sports where we cut you and you can't play, we got other divisions where you can play and be competitive. So,
absolutely, absolutely. Well, we should have had like 45 minutes. I know it like time flies. So we're gonna try to kind of keep the show moving so it's not too long for our listeners. But of that sport competition that we've been talking about for the past 10 minutes. If it, what's really important is for us to be healthy, and I was trying to find some way to transition this topic, but it's important as for what our listeners, what you know, and any other health messenger knows, is that Special Olympics is the world's largest health program for people with intellectual disabilities, and so. We'll try to keep some of this a little bit brief, but what you told me in the pre-show is similarly, this is another thing that we'll similar about is both becoming health messengers, and you took your first one virtually on Zoom, which just like me a few years ago, I took my first health messenger training virtually on Zoom, and then just recently, we both not in the same state, but in Nebraska, and me in Illinois have you've recently been trained as a health messenger and our paid health intern at Special Olympics Nebraska. So this past weekend, I became a trained health messenger in March 2020, along with our director of health and coach services at Special Olympics Illinois. I co-hosted a 5-part health mini series on this. Am I a little frozen here? Let's see if we can get frozen there.
There we go.
See, there we go. Okay.
Back. Yep.
So what I was saying was that in March of 2020, when the COVID-19 pandemic started, I co-hosted a 5-part health mini series on this podcast. And so turning it back to you now, why did you want to become a health messenger and a paid health intern, and tell us about this experience?
So the one, like the health messenger that just kind of asked me, you know, I honestly, sometimes I don't go out looking for these great opportunities, Special Olympics offers me. They just kind of ask me if I want to do it, and I'm like, I'm not gonna say no. I mean, they give me a good great opportunities. So then like they asked me, you want to do it, and I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, it's during the pandemic, so it was something to do and would be interesting. And then I did another one like in person with like people from Nebraska, and then I thought it was important for me to do it because I have all these health problems. Like, I just want to say this real quick. Like, ICP has nothing – my cerebral palsy has nothing to do with my health problems. I could have gotten cerebral palsy and not had health problems. But like I said, because my esophagus thing, I have a bunch of health problems. So just like two different things that I deal with. But because of my health problems, I feel like, you know, I have to try to stay healthy. Just the play sports are just for my everyday, you know, life. So I thought if I could use – what I experienced to help somebody else in Special Olympics and outside of the Special Olympics be more healthy, just to like play sports or just live a more healthier lifestyle. Then, I mean, if my voice can help, then why not? Like, just speak up, and hopefully my experiences, good and bad, with my medical conditions has motivated someone to want to stay healthy or to get more healthier or to train at their sports. Because like we do healthy athletes at our summer games, and that's such a big, you know, thing, and it's a great thing because it's just doctor's appointments that are free that can help us, like either get glasses or, you know, get good dental or just like with our motor skills. Like, is there anything ever wrong? I've heard several stories of athletes going to Healthy Athletes and like they didn't even know they had some foot problem or needed glasses or there's something that's just not right. And they would have never known that if they wouldn't have gone to Healthy Athletes. And I just think that's a huge blessing to have that. It's in all states. Like our big one is at our spring games in May. So if any Nebraska athletes are listening, go to Healthy Athletes in May. We'll get out the date here soon.
Even just any special athletes that I'll whether you're in Nebraska.
Yeah, like just like any athletes, like
Illinois or any state or country.
Yeah, for sure. Like Illinois, Nebraska, you know, go to your Healthy Athletes. I don't know. We go like clinic. That's it. That's what I was looking for. Clinic.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's really going to help out. Like I got new glasses there several times. It's cool. They like see your feet. Yeah. Right. And they're free. You know how much like glasses cost? They're a bunch, man. And I mean, I can't tell you, there's probably over 50% of people I've seen like athletes in special. I'm just guessing, but I just seen a bunch of athletes wear glasses all the time. So it's just like, you know, like it's good to get that. That's like kind of my number one, like, all right, where are the glasses? I need new ones. I need to go get some. And like dental, I think is the next important one to go to. It's really important to go to the dentist. I know with me personally, I've had some insurance issues every now and then with seeing the dentist. So going to Healthy Athletes is always a big helpful thing to do. And then just like they do feet, and you know, if your feet hurt like that, I've had back problems before, and they could say like your feet can lead to like back problems. And as someone that's had back problems, like that's never fun at all. So just like being healthy, at going to Healthy Athletes and learning about health and using it outside of Healthy Athletes, like in your sports or just in your everyday life. Because if you're not healthy, like it's just hard to get on the playing field or, you know, just enjoy life because you're struggling with some medical thing that just is hard. And it's hard to get back to where you were when you're not feeling good. So.
Awesome. Absolutely. I totally agree. I'm sure we could spend a whole episode just on talking about Healthy Athletes and being a health messenger. And so maybe we'll have to, and again, I want to remind listeners, if you're listening on Spotify leave us a comment or drop me a note, feedback@specialchronicles.com, or go over to Spotify and drop us a comment and let us know if there's any topics that you want to have Wyatt come back on the podcast. And I'm sure Wyatt, if any of our listeners want you to come back on the podcast, I'm sure we can talk more about some of these topics.
Sure. Yeah,
and so moving right along to athlete leadership, I read in your bio that you have a love of speaking about overcoming adversity and have had the opportunity to participate in many speaking engagements on behalf of Special Olympics Nebraska. And now, which we'll get into in the next segment, about being a Southern Tribe global messenger. And so now you're speaking, your athlete leadership is going to be taken to the global stage. But thinking back on it, can you tell us when you got involved in athlete leadership and how and why that you wanted to get involved in athlete leadership?
Yeah, so I just thought it was a good way to give back to the Special Olympics for everything they do for us. And then kind of like back to my story, I found out the months go along and it's like right before Christmas and I'm talking to my boss or my supervisor, Emma, and like my parents came to the office because I went from being a Special Olympic intern to Now I'm a program associate for Special Olympics Nebraska, so I'm a part-time employee now, not an intern anymore. So I walked into like the conference room, and I see something on the screen, and I'm like, this might be what I think it is, because I just remember on the form you fill out, like, we'll let you know the week before Christmas. And I was just like, wow, this might be it. And I kind of assumed that's what it was, but didn't want to get my hopes up. And sure enough, Tim Shriver does the whole
thing. So we're going to put another quick pin. We'll get into because we'll leave our listeners on the edge of their seats for the next segment. For those of you who listen, keep listening, because you do not want to miss hearing about Wyatt's reaction to being a SSGM. We're gonna move quickly on, and just because I'm looking at the recording clock here, and we are at about 56 minutes, so we're gonna move on. I hate to rush any part of your story, but becoming a podcast host, similarly to you, I've been podcasting for 15 years now. How long have you been?
I think it's been probably a year and a half, maybe, or close to a year and a half. Seems like longer. Awesome. But
So in addition to this weekly podcast, there's a couple other athletes that have podcasts on our network, on the Special Chronicles network, and so I've developed this into a platform. But coming back to you now, Wyatt, you won two podcasts with your best friend, another you were just telling me in the pre-show with your twin brother, and a fourth that you started with Special Olympics Nebraska to promote health and fitness. Can you share with the listeners what all, and I'm sure we could talk about podcasts. A whole episode. This could be a whole.
We could do like several. I'll be back on, man.
Again, if Brandon is listening, now that Wyatt and I have got connected, we'll have you back on. Many more times throughout your tome as an SSGM. But what are the titles of your podcast? Which I am now following and listening to one of them. But what are the titles of your podcast? Why did you want to get into podcasting? How has podcasting helped you in athlete leadership?
So I got into podcasting because I thought it could help me, like, show people what I was capable of, like getting a job, which worked. Now I work for Special Olympics. And so Be Unexpected is my first podcast with my best friend, Jake Burnside. Then the Special Olympic one I do for work, it's called Brave in the Attempt, where it's about health and just athletes and coaches. And then my one with my brother is just called the Spalding Brothers Show. And that's just talk with my brother about stuff we did growing up and what it was like for me with a disability growing up. So, it's kind of didn't think I'd run through podcasts, but it's been fun. And the one my brother kind of came up with out of the blue. I wish he would have told me he wanted to do it like a year and a half ago, but I think Jake was the better. I'm glad I did it with Jake first because he was more reliable on helping me, and it's gone really well with Jake. So, my brother one was just like, really? Like, now you're telling me after I'm running like two? It's like, yeah, come on, man. It's like, all right. So, yeah, running three, and I'll come back on. We get more into that another day. It's been great.
We'll definitely have to have you back on, and we can definitely talk more about some more of the podcasts that you've done. What have you seen has been the impact of the three different podcasts that you have that you are hosting and co-hosting? What have you seen as the impact on the listeners?
Yeah, so I think just making an impact, like it had an impact on someone's life. Like people always think about making an impact. You need to impact, you know, 1,000 people. Like this SSGM, like I don't know, I haven't done it yet, but I hope I get to speak to 1,000 people someday with this SSGM. But you know, if you can impact one person, that's all you need to is you could impact one person's life, and then they could impact one, and then they impact one just is down the chain. And like the one, I'll just go on the one I do with my friend Jake. You know, we interview people from our hometown that made an impact on us or that made an impact in the community. And yeah, we have some famous people on there, some Nebraska football players and stuff like that. But I think it doesn't matter if somebody famous or just some local coach trying to make an impact in his players' lives. I think as long as you can make an impact on someone, because everyone's doing something great out there. You just don't know it because everyone's trying to do their own thing to, you know, get where they want to be at in life. And so just like making that small impact, because you see their excitement when you ask them to come on, is like, all I need to see is like, oh, I'm doing the right thing by doing these podcasts. And then real quick, just the health thing, trying to get people more educated about Special Olympics, just like you do with your podcast, obviously. So, and then my brother one real quick, that's for fun. And we kind of talk about some serious stuff, and people are some reason fascinated by twins or what we have to say. I don't know, but it's just so awesome. Fun doing your twin. So, yeah.
There we go. You were saying?
Yeah, just fun doing your twin. And I think like with my twin interviewing me, he can get stuff out of me that I didn't even know like I was thinking about, or something I say that I guess he says is really impactful. So that's kind of like really cool to see. So I think just in all the three podcasts, make an impact on people's lives, even whether it's a big stage or a small stage, it's still an impact, and hopefully a positive impact. And then it's really helped me just boost my confidence in speaking, obviously, and getting to know people, good connections. And it definitely worked what I wanted. I was trying to get a good job, and that's how I got my job with Special Olympics Nebraska, was they heard about my Be Unexpected podcast and wanted me to start one for them. So I was like, wow, it worked. So
awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's amazing the opportunities that can come from the podcast. Like for example, like becoming an SSGM, even though yes, the application was difficult, but I think a big part of the podcasting over the years that I have done helped me to even become an SSGM, or even to be selected to be one of the Special Olympics athletes to work at United Airlines. So it's amazing, like the opportunities the podcast have come. Where can our listeners follow and listen to your podcast? I'm sure wherever our listeners are listening to the Special Chronicles podcast, this podcast, they can find your podcast as well.
Yeah, so just your normal Apple Podcast. So the Be Unexpected, Brave the Attempt, the Spaulding Brothers show. It's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Be Unexpected, we have a YouTube channel. It's just at Be Unexpected YouTube channel. And then the Brave the Attempt one, it's on the Special Olympics Nebraska YouTube channel. So it's Sony, at Sony Nebraska. And then my one with my brother is just on my personal YouTube channel, Life with Wyatt Spaulding. So I'll just say again, Be Unexpected YouTube channel, and then Special Olympics Nebraska. Just type in Special Olympics Nebraska YouTube channel, and then the My one with my brother, just my personal life with Wyatt Spalding. So, yeah. And then like, yeah, mostly, like I said, just the normal platforms. So.
Awesome. Awesome. So you'll have to, off air, you'll have to send me links to, to your podcast and the YouTube channels. So I'll make sure. So wherever you're listening, if you guys are listening and you don't have time to write this all down, we'll make sure to put links in this journals for this episode of the Special Chronicles podcast with Wyatt. So just look down wherever you're listening. Again, if you are driving walking, don't look down now, but like look down when it's safe to look down. I have to say that. So hopefully if all listeners are driving or whatever, we want you to be safe. With that, the Special Olympics Nebraska Hall of Fame. So in 2023, so last year you were inducted into the Special Olympics Nebraska Hall of Fame. Can you tell us about this experience and your initial thoughts of getting this honor?
Yeah. So that's probably one of the people don't really know this, but that was probably one of the top moments of just my special career, getting into the Hall of Fame. One, I didn't even know there was a Hall of Fame. I found out like probably 2 or 3 weeks before I got selected from a meeting I was in at work. And so I was like, man, when I'm like 40 some years old, I hope I make it. And then just to make it this last year in 2023 was awesome. It was kind of fun. I actually didn't get to accept it because I got sick. And my siblings were like, well, that's kind of perfect because that's your adversity you've overcome. You've been sick all the time and yet had to come back and train and get back into shape and play special sports. So I still got the plaque when I got it and my work gave it to me at my job. It was really cool. And then I got to go into the Hall of Fame with one of my best friends, Haley Wagner, who is my doubles partner. She went into the Hall of Fame as well at the same time. So, and then just real quick, I think the real special thing that made it cool was that it said Fremont Special Olympics because I played with them for 15 years and they're what got me started. Awesome. So it was really cool to have my hometown on there, on that plaque.
Awesome. Awesome. And moving right along to hobbies outside of Special Olympics and podcasting. From your bio, it's not that I'm psychic, but I've read your bio. You love reading biographies on sports and crime, and you also love listening to podcasts, which just like you, I love listening to podcasts. I have probably too many podcast that I am following to listen to in a week.
Oh my god, me too, man.
I hate to unfollow, but like I don't know, everything from comedy podcasts to Christian podcasts to family podcasts to Special Olympics podcasts. Like there's so many podcasts that I am following. But with that, one or two of your favorite titles of biographies that you like to read? And then also, what are a few of the podcasts that I use Apple Podcasts and Spotify to listen. So
yeah, me
like,
too.
On your Apple Podcasts and Spotify, what are just a few of your favorite podcasts?
Yeah. So. Like book-wise, I mean, I guess my favorite book is One Shot at Forever. It's just about a small-town team, actually in Illinois, baseball team. And they compete against schools like three times their size and make it far into the baseball state tournament with a coach that is like back in the 70s or something, but a coach is kind of like a hippie. And so it's pretty cool. And then, so that's probably my favorite book. And then, for podcasts, I really like the Three and Out podcast. It's an NFL podcast. Listen to that. And then just anything college basketball is probably my favorite thing to watch. So I probably listen to like too many college basketball podcasts. They're all like the same topics, but I just want to hear everybody's opinion and takes. And then for crime wise, I just like crime documentaries, and I like real time stuff. I like military. I like reading about like what happened like in the military, like in the country. So yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we got 10 minutes over the hour. We're gonna take a quick break here, and we'll come back with our final two segments that we'll try to make quick, which we hate to went long. Listen, you guys can pause and come back to this and listen to this at any time. This episode, Special Chronicles, is also brought to you by ChemEd, the ChemEd Energy Force Ambassador Program, which is the country's first energy and solar efficiency education program designed for and taught by people with disabilities. You can learn more at specialchronicles.com/ChemEd. That's specialchronicles.com/ChemEd. And Special Chronicles is also brought to you by United Airlines Bridge Business Resource Group. Bridge is committed to being an ally for all employees and customers with disabilities. Bridge is keeping accessibility needs in mind and keeping key organizations to empower disability inclusion for employment and travel. Bridge connecting people of all abilities. You can book your travel today on united.com or on the award-winning United app. You can learn more at specialchronicles.com/united, at specialchronicles.com/united. And with that, as we fade that down, I tried to have that be abruptly, and this is the point of the episode. We left our listeners on the edge of those seats earlier on in this episode, but right now, we're going to get your live reaction, Wyatt, to the announcement of becoming a Southern Survival Global Passenger from 2024 to 2027, right here.
Quick video to watch.
Hello, I'm Tim Shriver, and I'm the chair of International Fan Chief. But my great honor today is to let you know that you have been accepted, rewarded. Welcome. Congratulations. Congratulations. You have won this award, distinction, because of your work, because of your determination, because of the power of your voice, because of the example you've had for other people who have joined together to say, we believe in you. And now, in this role, perhaps one of the most difficult but most important roles in the entire special movement, I welcome you and I encourage you to find and define the goals that you have that can superpower the inclusion revolution. We know you have it in you. That's why you were chosen. But we also know that you have even more in you than you've yet to give. My dad, Sergeant Shriver, for whom this program is named, traveled all the world because he had one central belief, that the Special Olympics movement could change the world. You are now the holders of his legacy and of the passions and hopes of all of us. You now are invited to travel all over the world and let them know that the power of inclusion, the power of grit and determination, the power of openness and trust and belief in the goodness and dignity of every person, these values, especially, can change the world. You are Now, Sergeant Shriver, Global Message. Thank you for all you've done that got you here. Welcome to this extraordinary, powerful community of fellow athletes. And I now get ready to stand back and watch as you change the world. Congratulations.
And there is your clap for Sergeant Shriver, Global Messenger. And we are going to try to come back here, Wyatt. Wow, that was quite a reaction to Tim, our chairman of Special Olympics International, and as Tim says, our fan in chief, explained a little bit what a Sergeant Shriver Global Messenger is, and for any of our listeners, long-time listeners, for the past 5 years, I've heard from me and my experience of being in SSGM. But for you, right before we get to you, I want to share with our listeners that a Sergeant Shriver Global, what a Sergeant Shriver Global Messenger is. For 20 years, Special Olympics athlete leaders have served in a select role, an elite role titled Sergeant Shriver Global Messenger. These spokespeople for the movement lead the campaign for a more inclusive world for people with intellectual disabilities. Through their participation and leadership at global, regional, and local events, both internal and external to the Special Olympics movement, they challenge the mindsets of political leaders, policymakers, educators, employers, and society. And now, Wyatt, as our listeners just saw that reaction video, of you and your class of SSGMs, share with us again, what was your reaction? You teased our listeners a little bit early on in the episode.
Yeah, but so now, back to when I'm walking in the room, I see it, I sit down, and they say, congrats on your, you know, being part an employee of Special Olympics Nebraska. You're not an intern anymore. You're an employee. So I'm like, great. And I kind of knew, like I said, I kind of knew what it was, but I didn't want to get my hopes up. So the video runs. My parents were more shocked than I was. And they just like could not believe it. They thought it was just some like holiday thing. Tim Shriver saying happy holidays. And I was just like, as he was going through, you know, my parents were in shock. And I was just like, wow, I did it. I made the Sergeant Shriver top 10, and I'm going to have this amazing experience. And I was just trying to soak it all in. My parents were in shock. I was just trying to soak in the moment. And it was just really cool that I got picked, because when I started the process, I was like, there's no way. Like, you're competing with people around the world. Like, I know I'm good. But it's people around the world. Like, there's so many people to pick. So it was
cool. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a big honor to be chosen among millions and millions of athletes and athlete leaders to select only 10 of us, two from our North America region, but like 10 from across the globe is such a huge honor. A lot of responsibility as well. It's not just a title, but it's like you have an opportunity to speak on behalf of the movement, speak on behalf of all of us athletes, and to join, like, once you're in SSGM, once you're a Sergeant Shriver Global Messenger, you're always a Sergeant Shriver Global Messenger. So you are joining our SSGM family. Why did you want to become an SSGM, and what are a few of your goals for this 2024 to 2027 term?
So I wanted to join because I wanted people to hear my story, kind of hear what I've gone through, what I'm kind of going through now. Like, you know, I still deal with medical conditions on a day-to-day basis, and you know, life isn't easy, but you know, you're going to face adversity and you got to overcome it if you want to achieve stuff in life. And I hope my story can kind of say that. And I want to speak and be a huge voice for Special Olympics and make an impact on Special Olympics that, you know, people will remember. That's a good impact, and, you know, change Special Olympics, make it even better, even though it's great now, but, you know, you can always improve. And I hope I'm a small or big part in how we can change Special Olympics.
Special Olympics now. Yeah.
So, and then, I mean, just kind of, like I said, with the impact thing with my podcast, like, impact, you know, you want to leave a good impact on someone's life that you help them and you made somewhat of a difference. So I'm just hope I can represent the North America good and make a difference in people's lives for the better. And I think, like I told people, like, it's my big break in speaking. Like, I think I finally kind of got like on a big platform, so I got to go out and deliver. So
yeah. And I'm sure you're going to do a great job. And as one of your predecessors, as an SSGM alum, I'm here to support you. And now that we've got each other's phone numbers and emails, you can reach out to me anytime. And I'll be happy to help you as well. What you just shared on the impact that you hope to make in your SSGM tome, I love that you said that that you hope to share with people in the community about the overcome that they too can overcome obstacles in life and go for their dreams, just like a lot of athletes have done. And I think that's a big message that I'm sure you'll, when you speak to audiences across the globe, hundreds and thousands of audiences, that you'll be able to, similarly to what you have done in the past hour, 20 minutes, sharing your story on this podcast, how you shared your story on your podcast. But yeah, it'll be an incredible to watch you on this global stage. When Special Olympics International had shared the reaction video that our listeners just watched a few moments ago, listened again, if you're listening to the audio podcast, Tim Shriver, our chairman of Special Olympics and fan in chief, recently posted on his social media the announcement of your class. I don't know if you saw that, but Tim had a challenge for your SSGM class. Any challenges your class to push the transformation of inclusive sports and create a world where everyone, regardless of their ability, is accepted, choose to include. Can you briefly comment? We've got just a few moments left. Can you comment on Tim's challenge for your class?
Yeah, I think the challenge is like, we need people to see Special Olympics as not just, oh, they're special, like they just play these sports so they can play and they have fun. But we want them to see it like, oh, it's Special Olympics. It's a competitive sports organization, and these athletes, not kids, athletes are, you know, working hard for in and off the playing field, and it's an organization where everybody can be involved. I hope Special Olympics is just like high school or college sports some days, or maybe, I don't know how they would do it, but you have like a minor pro system. I don't know, like you send some tennis players to play at the U.S. Open, or have a select basketball traveling league, or, you know, just like any other sports organization. That's what we are. We're not just your local 1 to 2 years basketball tournament. We're a national international brand, and we're just like any other sports brand that is trying to better athletes, coaches, fans, volunteers. And the big thing about us is we include everybody. Everyone's invited. So I hope people just see us and give us respect on what we do and just show us, you know, show us this respect that we give everyone else. And I can't wait to see it grow. Like, I really do think one day unified sports will just be another high school sport you sign up for. And that's awesome. What I hope to make it do.
Absolutely. Well, we've got 5 minutes left. We're going to try not to go over this. Yeah. You know, and it's, I guess we've already got 25 minutes over the hour. So can you share with us social media plugs and have you mentioned your podcast, where people can follow and listen, all four of your podcasts. But also, I'm sure our listeners are going to want to follow your SSGM journey on social media. So how can our listeners follow your SSGM journey? Instagram, Facebook, yeah, YouTube? So
Instagram, Facebook, my YouTube channel, Life with Wyatt Spaulding. I'll be posting a lot on that as Kenny and I, Kenny's my mentor, like I said, travel throughout the country and the world. And then like my Instagram handle, just Wyatt Spaulding. White's probably one. And then my podcast, Be Unexpected 100. You can follow the podcast there. The Sony Nebraska, Special Olympics Nebraska, Instagram and Facebook page, so Sony Nebraska. And then it's just called The Spaulding Brothers. That's one of my podcasts I do with my brother. So those are my social media handles. And just like I said, the main one with the SSGM is my Life with Wyatt Spaulding YouTube channel. I'll be posting a lot of stuff on there with what Kenny and I will be doing. I'm going to try to film a lot of stuff from waiting for our plane to who knows what we'll be doing, you know, traveling the globe. So Kenny and I, and I'll probably label them Kenny and Wyatt do, you know, whatever we're doing. So.
Awesome. Well, speaking of that, I kept a newsletter called Daniel's SSGM Journal, and I had people. So I had all my friends and family and people across the country and across the globe could enter their email and subscribe to my update. So similarly to what you're going to be doing with your YouTube channel. So if you can send me a link to your YouTube channel, I'll make sure for those of you listening, put that in the show notes so you all can subscribe to Wyatt's YouTube channel and keep updated and follow his journey and his adventures. With that, before we get to the final question, it's been a blast the past hour and a half having you on the Special Chronicles podcast. I'm sure this won't be the last time. I'm sure you'll be a two-time, three-time, four-time, five-time guest.
We're going to do a lot together. We're going to work a lot together. So.
Yes, we're going to definitely work a lot together. So again, if Brandon is listening in,
come on, Brandon.
Brandon. Yeah.
You get the hint.
You get the hint. with that, I'm sure Brandon won't be surprised. But anyways, with that, before we get to the final question, do you have any final thoughts on your overall time here today on the Special Chronicles podcast?
Yeah, I think you've done a great job. It's very organized, and you take some organization skills from you for sure. And just in life in general. And I hope to my podcast will grow as much as yours has in the past 15 years you've done it. And I just that's awesome. You've been doing it 15 years. And now that we're both in the podcast world, I definitely want to work together more. I think we could have some great shows on my podcast, your podcast, and or just combine something and do it together. So,
yeah. Absolutely, we'll definitely have to talk off air and either have like a crossover episode or even you know, even down the road, even because like we've been talking for the past hour and a half, maybe even like I'm starting a SSGM. Maybe we could even start a SSGM a podcast.
Yeah,
where we host together.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, awesome. So maybe we might want to talk to Brandon about that. But but yeah, I think that could be really cool. So with that, we're gonna we've got a bumper. We're gonna go ahead and roll this bumper that will introduce the final question as we wrap up all our time here today with Wyatt on the Special Chronicles. So let's. Oh wait, I have to pull up. I had a different. So many audio clips to you. I'll make sure to play the white clip, but let's go ahead and roll that bumper.
We're not just athletes.
We are the ambassadors of an uprising.
Peaceful protesters.
In a rebellion against anyone
who has a fear of
difference.
Our demands are
equality,
dignity,
and the recognition of our
shared humanity.
We will not stop
or accept anything less.
Today, our world is
more divided than ever.
And coming together has never been more urgent.
The revolution
is inclusion.
Find out more at jointherevolution.org.
Ever since I attended the 2019 Special Olympics World Games in Abu Dhabi 5 years ago, I've been asking all of our guests one final question. And as you know, from participating in Unified Sports and being involved in this movement, and like what our chairman Tim Shriver talks about as well, inclusion and the inclusion revolution is a big part of this movement, and it's important. Yeah, inclusion is also important with the podcast that you do and the podcast that I do as well. So we'll conclude. I think that this final question should leave our listeners with something to. Not just listen to your story, but to take into their own lives, take into their own communities, and learn from hearing your story. And so, with that, what does inclusion mean to you?
So, inclusion means to me is you give everybody a chance, give them a shot. Doesn't matter what they look like, how big they are, how tall they are, where they come from. Give everybody a chance. Because you don't know what everybody's capable of until you see it. And I think that is what inclusion means to me, is seeing what everybody's capable of. Because everybody's capable of something.
Absolutely. Well, that's a perfect way to wrap up this episode. I want to remind all of you listening in to support our Special Chronicles 2024 giving campaign. At Special Chronicles, this podcast and this podcasting platform on specialchronicles.com, we're trying to raise $15,000 to operate our studio, keep this microphone on, keep the technology plugged in, the lights on, our website hosted, podcast hosting, video hosting, all that. It's free for you to listen and watch. But it costs us money each month. So go to specialchronicles.com/give. That's specialchronicles.com and click on give now to support this podcast with a monthly or one-time gift. And you can support, you can shop our merch store. We have merchandise. I'm not wearing it today. But Wyatt, and for all of you listening, if you go to specialchronicles.com/shop, the 60% of the profits, that's 60% of the profits will go back to support Special Chronicles. We have t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, candles. Yeah, who would have known candles? But go to specialchronicles.com, click on shop, and you can shop our merchandise store, our Disabled Voices Matter line of merch. And with that, keep following the Special Chronicles podcast. New episodes drop every Monday. So go ahead, if you're not following yet already, go tap that follow button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe to our YouTube channel, our newsletter, follow us on social media. You can find all those links, on specialchronicles.com, as well as the stream, our archives, our this weekly podcast, the Georgia and Daniel Show podcast I do host calls with my girlfriend, and all original series. You can find all of that at specialchronicles.com. Click on listen. Or click on watch if you would rather watch, if that's more of your thing. With that, thank you again, Wyatt. It has been a joy having you on. I'm sure we will be in touch. But both SSGM related stuff, but also podcasting as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Daniel. It's been great.
Awesome. No problem. And have a great night. Or if you are listening, have a great morning or afternoon or whatever time that you are listening or watching this episode. Until then, maybe we could say choose to include at the same time. And until then, remember
to choose to include. Yep, that was okay.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Special Chronicles podcast. Our podcast was produced by Daniel Smukowski on the Special Chronicles Network. Follow Special Chronicles on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Subscribe, rate, and review Special Chronicles on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website, specialchronicles.com, where you can stream our archives of over 500 episodes for absolutely for free. Also, there's a list of our favorites, original series, award-winning columns, and blogs. And sign up for our newsletter to receive exclusive bonus content delivered to your inbox. Again, specialchronicles.com. Special Chronicles is hosted by Podbean Podcast Hosting. Our live streams are powered by StreamYard. Thanks, as always, to our business manager, Adam Smukowski, who always encourages us to never give up. I'm Daniel Smukowski, back next week with more stories.
Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.